And we're starting a new series today. And this series is called the Fairground Series. And I'm going to start off with the scripture. And I'm reading both the scriptures for this series. And the scripture comes from Micah, the 6th chapter, the 1st through the 8th verse. Micah, chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear now what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a complaint against his people. Oh my, and he will contend with Israel. Oh my people, what have I done to you? Imagine God saying that. What have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. From Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I become him? Shall I become before him with burnt offerings? With calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oils? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my foe, for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Isaiah 1, if you'd like to turn with me there. Isaiah 1, 17 says, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widows. This is the word of the Lord for us today, House of Judah. Thanks be to God. Now, my focus for this series comes from Micah 6, 7 through 8. And it says, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He, God, has shown us, O man, what desire of us, and what does the Lord require of us but to do justly. Somebody repeat after me. Do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen. Now, Brother Alpheus has given us our assignment, as it were, and we are welcomed to the fairgrounds. And the fairgrounds is a space rooted in God's unchanging justice. Somebody say, God's unchanging justice. In a world that often defines fairness by what feels right. Anybody ever had that feeling? Well, we'll explore the joy of living by God's standard, showing mercy, seeking justice, and letting righteousness guide our every step. Amen. So my thought for today is, what is fair grounds and family? What is fair grounds? Somebody say, what is fair grounds? Well, in the context of the Bible, there are consequences for the actions that can ripple out into the lives of others within our families. So to give you my context, I'm going to be talking about family issues, if you will, family grounds. And this is coming from the idea that our sins, the sins of old, can affect our descendants. And this is a serious message from God. And it reminds us the importance of living righteously. Somebody say, live righteously. And as we journey through life, we must be more aware of how our choices, how our behaviors, even our views may influence our children, even though some of you may not have any just yet. But what are we doing now that will have an impact on the children and future generations? This is our decisions. This includes politics. This includes what's going on in nature. How will the future generations be impacted? And the Bible tells us that our choices today, they do matter. And we cannot afford to take them lightly. Lightly. Somebody say lightly. So what is fair grounds? I'm looking at the word fair. Fair means impartial and just. It means without favoritism or discrimination. It means to be considerable, though not outstanding in amount or size. It's just kind of middle of the ground. It's fair. Makes sense. We get it. And grounds. I'm looking at grounds from the perspective of an arena of knowledge or a subject or discussion for thought. What are the grounds? What are the factors forming a basis for action? Or what is our justification for what we believe? Somebody say fair grounds, not the circus. At first, I was thinking, you know, fairgrounds, you know, this time of year, you've got the carnivals, you have the festivals, but the Holy Spirit was saying, let's not go to the fair this year, but let's consider what fairgrounds look like, especially as it relates to harvest, because October is considered harvest time, amen? Somebody say harvest time. And what are some of the generational patterns? Somebody say blood ties. Familial habits. And I don't like the word curses, but generational curses. This is what came up for me as it relates to fair grounds. And how is this fair grounds? How are generational patterns fair ground? Well, when we look in scripture, we can have an idea of there are over 35 different references and counting how the thoughts, the behavior, the actions of the father affects the next generation. Listen to what the word says in Exodus 20 and 5. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. God is talking about those other idols that the Israelites. So he's giving them a warning. People were serving and that were around and about the Israelites. So he's giving them a warning. God says, I am jealous, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Sounds kind of serious, doesn't it? Listen to Numbers 14 and 18. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving in sin and rebellion, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Y'all listen to this. He punishes the children for the sin of the parent to the third generation. In 2 Samuel, I found this to be interesting. Then David confessed to Nathan, this is after David had Uriah killed. I have sinned against the Lord, David said to Nathan. Yes, Nathan replied, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. Nevertheless, because you have shown utter contempt for the word of the Lord by doing this, murdering Uriah, he says, your child will die. And then in 1 Chronicles, this right here has had me thinking for a few months now. It's just kind of been in and out and there. And 1 Chronicles 21:7-17 says, and this is when David sinned against God by counting the people of Israel. David told God, wasn't it I who sinned and acted wickedly? Now, as for these sheep, the sheep that he's talking about are the children and the tribes of Israel who God gave David a choice for disobeying him. And God gave him the option, and one of the options was he was going to punish the whole of Israel on behalf of David. That's who the sheep David's talking about. So now, as for these sheep, David says, what have they done? Lord God, David, Lord God, please let your hand be against me. Why didn't he stop there? He didn't. He said, let your hand be against me and my ancestral household. Somebody said, come on, David. I guess you're wondering, well, what does this have to do with us and Fair Grounds? Y'all, I've been going through, I'm not saying it as a joke, but it's kind of serious. I have been doing some really deep reflection. You know, as I look back over my life, I do have a testimony. But I also wonder, like, God, why are there patterns? Why are these things that I do that I don't want to do them? I just do them. It's not that I'm just doing them just because I don't have anything to do better on a Tuesday. These are really some things, when I am being honest, I'm being partially transparent with y'all. There are some spaces and places in my life that I really don't understand. Why is there this repeating cycle going on? Do any of y'all feel like that? If not, I'm just saying it for those who it may be and may not be, but I just want y'all to know, here is a reason why. If it seems to be something that you just can't get a good, strong grip on and it just keeps popping up, that's what we're talking about today. Fair Grounds. Somebody can say, honestly, it ain't my fault. Somebody repeat after me. Oh, it ain't my fault. It really isn't. We've got scripture that lets us know, truly, we're not just being irresponsible. Some of these things, they're not. Now, look at this one. I'm going to bring it up to the New Testament. Now, this is as it relates to Jesus. And he was going before Pilate whenever the church council had decided he had to go, period. So this is what Pilate said. The governor said, why What evil has he done? Talking about Jesus. But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw, somebody say, when Pilate saw. When Pilate saw that they could not, that he could not prevail on behalf of Christ, but rather he took water, washed his hand before the multitude, and he said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Y'all see to it. In other words, y'all do that. Listen what the people said back to him, led by the church councils, by those councils, the Sadducees, chief priests, those authorities. They said, his blood, let his blood be on us and on our children. Y'all ever heard that? Did y'all know? Some folk in authority wanted Jesus gone so bad they didn't care. They said, let his blood be on us and on our children. So some questions that I have for our consideration today, listen to this. Have you considered that some of your difficulties may not be your own? Secondly, what patterns, what habits or behavior have you recognized not only in you, but in your family? And on a personal note, do you have a circumstance, a sickness, a disappointment that just seems unrelenting? You have prayed, you have stood before the Lord, you have fasted, you have just been before the Lord, you have even tarried. Nothing changed. I am offering up for you this consideration. David told God, you know, when we get to, and I who acted wickedly, you know, when we get to talking, sometimes we can say things. I don't care what happens, okay? That's leaving the door open for something to come up on our kids. When we are angry, upset, frustrated, we have to be aware of what I'm saying. Now, as for these sheep, David says, they ain't done nothing. But let your hand be against me and my ancestral household. I'm here talking about fair ground and how things come upon us by the words that have been spoken or by the deeds, the habits of people before us. And guess where it starts, y'all? At home. Charity starts at home. Healing starts at home. Grace starts at home. Everything that we want to see changed starts at home. In our household, but also the home of our hearts. So as we seek spaces rooted in God's unchanging justice, somebody say justice. Justice. Somebody say, I knew it wasn't fair. It would. When we seek God's unchanging justice in a situation in this world that often defines fairness as whatever we feel right. Isn't it amazing how people who are in power, they can just do whatever they want to do? And sometimes that falls on us, not necessarily from the political arena, but even in our homes. I can say that I have pulled the parent card on Brandon before. It felt right to me, but it may not have necessarily been right or been right for him. So my question is, what if we explore the joys of living by God's standard, by starting with ourselves within our household, by showing mercy, by seeking justice? What does justice look like when it's not just us or just me, but honestly for the generations to come? And letting God's righteousness guide our every step. Where does it start, y'all? Say, in our families and in our homes first. So how are we going to do it? We have to reflect on the topic of the sins of our fathers. What patterns do you see? I don't want to admit it. Nobody liked my family. I saw it generations and generations. By the grace of God, it got past me, praise Jesus. There are some sins of our family, some patterns. Pregnancy before marriage, that's one of the ones. If I'm going to be transparent, I'm going to be transparent. That was one of the cycles. And what lasting impact do you see in the past and current generations? Seems like it won't stop. How many and where may we live thoughtfully and intentionally now that we see? What can we do? We have to say more than you, whatever things that we say, but we have to be proactive, encouraging, empowering to our family members. So what? You may be the first one who actually graduated from high school, who's actually going to college. You keep it going, because what you're doing is you're setting seeds. You're setting the standard for the next generation to come. We can say it stops with me here and no further. We have to know that we find hope in the promises of God's mercy. And we have the opportunity to have a new beginning. Somebody say, we can have a new beginning. And it starts with me. Yes. We seek forgiveness. We can ask God to forgive us, but not only to forgive us, forgive our ancestors, forgive that pattern, break that thing. And we can break the cycle of sin patterns and step into the blessings God has in store for us. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, why we want to do all of that? We want to do this because of the fairgrounds of our Father. Somebody say our Father's fairgrounds. Yeah, our Heavenly Father's fairgrounds. It says in Psalm 103, even though those things happen, guess what? As far as the east is from the west, so far has God will I remove your transgressions. Somebody clap on it. See, even though it's there, there's a promise that he's going to throw it somewhere. Somebody can't pull it back out. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions. For my, oh y'all, somebody say God's fair grounds. Mm-hmm. Say thank you for blotting out ours. And then in Micah 7:18 it says, who is like you, God, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but you delight to show mercy. Somebody say, show mercy, God. And 2 Corinthians, the promise of all promise, 2:5-7 says, this is the beauty of the fairgrounds. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. Now the new is here. So in God's fairgrounds, we have something new to embrace. Amen. Amen. See, this is a way it got started, y'all. In the Bible, Adam is referred to as the first man, the first Adam. He symbolizes humanity's beginning, while Christ is called the second man. He represents our divine redemption. Somebody say, thank God for redemption. See, Adam is created from the dust of the ground and is described as a living being embodying human nature. We get our human ways from Adam. You know, we're told from at that end of life experience, from dust you came, to dust you will return. So everything, somebody say, everything did come out the dirt. It did. It was called Adam. But Christ, praise God, Christ is the last Adam. And he is referred to as our life-giving spirit. See, that's why I say we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Our life-giving spirit signifying Christ's divine nature and his resurrection. Somebody say, thank you for the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And these distinctions are the key to our transformation from our physical earthly existence to our spiritual beingness, our heavenly identity. Somebody say, I have a heavenly identity through Christ Jesus. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 15:45 and 47 says this, and this is the beauty of it. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, Christ Jesus, was made a quickening spirit. The first man is of the dirt, of the earth. But the second man is from the Lord from heaven. Somebody say, I'm from the Lord from heaven. Where'd you come from? Remember, this is a new lives through the earthly physical part of where we've been and how hard it's been. Or we can embrace our new identity, our heavenly identity from the Lord of heaven, who calls us his own. Say, I'm his. He called me his. Yes, he did. And so as we stand on our feet, House of Judah, let's stand firm, reminding ourselves that no matter what our current, past, or possible struggles may be, somebody say, the blood still works. But Christ's blood is a greater blood. If you believe that, put your hands together. Y'all, we are spiritual beings who are one with Christ. We know what is good. And we do what the Lord requires. By doing justly, by loving mercy, and walking humbly with our God. So whenever you're going through something and you don't quite understand where it's coming from, why it is, remember what it could be, but remember what Christ has promised. Amen. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you this morning for your fair ground.